Because I grew up in a family that was, you know, into things like hunting and stuff, I had learned to shoot at an early age. So out on the rifle range. Now, I'm talking about a time when the Army was still using the Garand M14 30 cal, which I was already familiar with. So I'm consistently impressing the shooting instructors who kind of like steered me into becoming more and more of a sharpshooter. And so about the fifth week, and my understanding at the time was that after 6 weeks, we would be assigned to our permanent unit.
Ah.
So there was kind of like an iffy about exactly where you were going to end up.
Did the Army have MOSs in those days, like they do now with the MOS?
Yeah, so yeah. They had your military operations specialty. But we at that point in time, we really hadn't been assigned a specific MOS. And because of not just one drill instructor's impressions of me, and not just on the rifle range, I was politely encouraged.
Not quite or
to volunteer for advanced basic training.
So I see.
And their idea specifically what they call I'm trying to remember the exact phraseology of it, but basically it was advanced counterinsurgency anti-guerrilla warfare training.
I see.
Which was conducted down at Camp 9 in Fort Polk, Louisiana.
So, kind of like a pre-special forces.
I mean, yeah, exactly, yeah. Basically. Because just while looking back later on the timing of the whole thing, I realized that Army tactical training setup had come about at the same time that MACB, Military Assistance Command
Vietnam,
had determined that there was a very strong need for a specialized squad that, again, in the Army's tendency to designate things with acronyms, was designated as LURCH,
right,
which stood for Long Range Unsupported Reconnaissance Recovery Patrol Search and Destroy Mode.
Oh, that's a different acronym. That's a different description of the acronym than I'd heard.
Very good.
A friend
very
of mine,
concise, that's very good. Clear.
Very clear.
So, after it was explained to me that signing up for LURCH would entitle me to extra hazardous combat pay above and beyond what a sergeant would get, Which back then in those days wasn't really all that much.
Get an extra dollar or something.
Yeah, something like that. And other than benefits, a not so small part of me kind of really got motivated to volunteer once I realized that Fort Polk, being in Louisiana, was in a state that I had always wanted to visit and kind of sightsee in. So,
see,
I volunteered.
See, you know, I find that really interesting because here you're talking about that you put yourself in a much more dangerous position. You're much more likely to get killed. And you did that so you could visit Louisiana and for a couple of bucks.
Exactly.
That's interesting, but you were 19.
I didn't think of it as being in a more precarious position for the simple reason that, again, looking back from a 62-year-old person's viewpoint, there's a certain time period in everybody's life where no matter what the circumstances are, you have this inherent thought going on to you that nothing bad is ever going to happen to you.
And in fact, you did come out alive, obviously.
Obviously.
Right? Obviously. And you're in pretty good condition, right? I mean, the damage,
for the most part,
the damage that you've suffered, the damage that you've suffered had nothing to do with Vietnam.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So they explained to me that I would be at Fort Polk for another 6 weeks.